IndieCan Music presents the Toronto Indie Scene, your backstage pass to our local music scene, with news, interviews, and the best of emerging artists. This week, a contest where you can win music. Dominic Forrest with PeerTracks.com is our industry insider, but first, live at IndieCan, Lucy.
You know how everyone's like trolling? This is a song about that. They say if the ass don't shine, don't buy it from the store. Well, your eyes glazed over a few days before. They tell you to poke it to test if the flesh is still firm. Oh God, I think I just swallowed a worm. And he said, well, didn't you get everything you wished for? Didn't you get everything you wished for? Yeah, I guess I got everything I wished for. I certainly got a little love, a lot of crap, some self-denial, nothing new about that. A lot of hurt, a little more crap. If love was a fish, I'd throw it back. So here I am flopping at the bottom of my boat. Thought that I could swim, turns out I only float. I'm craving the oblivion of that club against my head. The hook inside that wall left me for dead. And he said, well, didn't you wish, oops, everything you did. Didn't you get everything you paid for? Yeah, I guess I got careful what you wish for. I guess I got a little love, a lot of crap, some self-denial, nothing new about that. A lot of hurt, a little more crap. If love was a fish, I'd throw it back. Well, maybe you can't help it. Fish like pretty things, and the water's always bluer from the outside looking in. What the hell were you thinking? Feeding me that line, that lure with all the pretty feathers, wire beads all entwined. I thought I saw blue sky, turns out it's only air. And I can't breathe so well from way up there. And he said, well, didn't you wish everything you got for? Didn't you wish that everyone was done for? Yeah, don't you just wish it was more than love and crap and self-denial and hurt, more crap? Can't we just stay here for a while? A little love, a lot of crap, some self-denial, nothing new about that. A lot of hurt, a little more crap. If love was a fish, I'd throw it back. If love was a fish, I'd throw it back. I'd throw it back, I'd throw it back. Throw you back, I'll throw you back, I'll throw you back.
Well, Lucy, welcome to IndieCan Radio. Glad to have you here.
Thanks for having us.
Why don't you each talk a little bit about how you got into music, and then how you found what your influences were, and then how you found yourself to this trio or gaggle, maybe.
better describes it.
Tracy, you start us out.
All right.
You're a good talker.
How did I get into... I'm a good talker, yeah. How did I get into music? I actually started playing guitar when I was 17, and I was in Broadway plays at high school, and then I thought I should get a real job. So I stopped playing music. And after I got a real job and I was really bored with my real job, I thought, you know, I've always liked music and there's no reason I shouldn't spend the other 8 hours of my day playing music. So I picked up my guitar again and I happened to be on this soccer team with Colleen. I was riding my bike to Montreal for a Toronto benefit for people with AIDS. And I said to Colleen, hey, Colleen, I'm doing this show, a fundraiser. You know, I told the whole group and a group of players. And she said, oh, I play music. I was like, oh, really? So I had her play at the gig. And she was amazing. And that was it. She saw me, and I guess she's known Jen, and I don't want to tell her story. But
that's my turn.
Yeah,
my turn.
I think you take it over. Yeah. Yeah.
So. Okay. From there, I did about the same thing. I think I played music in high school in bands and choirs and various things like that. Gave it up when it was time to be in my 20s and get a real job and become a yuppie. Then couldn't stand it once I was right in the middle of everything I wanted. I realized that wasn't what I wanted at all. So I rented a guitar and took it back up again and started playing at open stages. And that's where I met Colleen, same thing, through music. And then once she had met Tracy and invited Tracy out to an open stage, we sort of just said, why don't the three of us play? And we went to my house, jammed a bit, and sort of connected straight away. And that was about a year, year and a half ago. And from then... off we go.
All right. Well, let's see. I was actually, I never got a real job. Until now. But no, I went to Japan, actually, because I didn't know what else to do. University wasn't really doing it. And met some guys over there that actually played music. And I had to sing Japanese karaoke for sort of part of my job over there. Entertain people, and so that's when I started singing. And then these guys talked me into being in a band, and then when I moved back to Victoria, we all played in a band together. And so I started playing music a bit, and then we all moved to Toronto, and then that lasted for about a week, and then so I stayed in Toronto and the band left, and just everyone hated Toronto basically, and I was like, oh, I got nothing better to do, so I stayed here. And so I kept kind of playing music and living in Toronto, and yeah, ended up playing soccer and meeting Tracy and seeing her play at the benefit, and I was like, ah, wicked. And then I actually drum a bit for other people, and that's how I met Jen. She was playing the bass, I was drumming for a different band, and we all just kind of hit it off, and yeah, worked out.
your music is timeless. Like, what would
Can
you
we
call
quote
it?
That?
We need somebody. We need to quote somebody.
Yeah. So,
except for my mother.
Yeah. Tell me about your influences. Did you find that you all listen to the same music, or you all bring something completely different to the musical act?
Well, I grew up listening to such a variety. My background is West Indian, but my parents love old jazz, and I love the old singers, and my mom has a kick-ass voice. So that's what I heard growing up, and I've always wanted to write like classic, something classic and timeless, you know? I like the older composers. I like great soul composers. So whenever I'm writing something, I try to think of that. But then I also, I don't want to play the same song every time. So I like to mix it up, and I also like the way that we work together as a group, because Colleen writes her own stuff and it comes from a different place. And she always hears something different in the backup vocal. Where I might do something that kind of imitates something that I've heard, she'll throw in something else that's a bit minor. And it makes the song fresh, you know? So that's kind of where I got my influence.
And... I like the minor music. I grew up on kind of the Beach Boys, I guess.
What about
mostly.
Your Hawaiian music?
That was dancing more than...
Okay.
Well, I guess, yeah. Yeah, also very. We grew up in the boonies, me and my sister and my brother. And so we had kind of the old record player and the whatever my parents listened to, basically. So it was Beach Boys, Anne Marie, Roger Whittaker. People like that. No Beatles,
there's
nothing
no
like that.
There's no whistling in your music. I'm surprised.
Not yet. But I like to listen to the music that has, like, beats mostly. Like, I like, you know, sort of trip hop, like Massive Attack and Portishead and stuff like that. And I like, well, I like to play the drums, you know, once in a while. And, yeah, so, and I've always liked the, when I first started writing, I was kind of like angry, folky, more minory, blah, blah, blah. And now, I don't know what
you're
I
am. You're happier now,
Colleen. Yeah, way happier.
She's cheered up considerably.
You should hear some of those songs from 5 years ago.
Shut up. No, just
So, Jen, were you the Metallica fan?
No. I grew up, my dad is 100% folk. The banjo and all that kind of stuff and the harmonies and the playing around in a big group and singing around, like, around meaning in around. We always had to do that as a kid. Okay, let's do row, row, row your boat and around, you know, in the car. So I grew up with the folk background. And then, of course, as I said, sort of took a break from music. And when I came back, it was all indie stuff. It was my record collection, my CDs are, nobody knows who they are unless they're my friends or within my group of friends. If you listen to my MP3 player, no one would know what they were. It's all local people, friends, things that I found. So I would say that's the best part, I think, of the music. I'm not really that happy with what I would hear on the radio on a regular basis, most times. And when you listen to indie music, you just get such a bigger variety that you can bring to the group. I don't know how much, you know, musicality, of course, I'll bring maybe the clarinet and something different to Lucy, but I don't know.
I think it's interesting because I feel like out of the three of us, I have a much more commercial sensibility, you know. And what happens is because you have more indie and you have more minor, it twists it. I love a good hook. Like, I like to see people's heads bobbing while I'm gone. I want them to be in the groove. But the groove can be boring, you know? And what I like about playing with these gals is they always twist it, you know, whether it's vocally or musically. And, yeah, it just makes it more interesting, you know?
Twisted is good.
Yeah, twisted is good.
And I think we have fun playing together, and we've had a lot of experiences where it hasn't been fun playing with other people, like, you know? So
okay, well,
we're like, yay.
I think there's actually been too much fun going on here. Let's get back to the music. I hate to, the next song really speaks for itself, but what the listeners are going to miss with Shark Bait, which I've been able to see visually, is you have a little bit of a, it's almost a pantomime or play
a
or
puppet show
that goes with this song. And I'm just so sorry for the listeners. I would tell them that if they dig this song, they got to get out and see this act.
Well, they could always check our website for our next gig and make sure to make it out so that they could see the puppet show.
Yeah, we think there should be a visual element to the show.
Well, absolutely, because it's a performance.
Mm-hmm.
It's not watching you play, it's watching you perform. And I mean, it's like watching a shell game, actually, watching Lucy, because you all play different instruments and you're moving from one instrument to the other in one position to the other. So you're kind of like a cross-eyed discus thrower. I don't know if you'll set any records, but you sure keep the crowd alert.
Pay attention.
Okay, so this is Shark Bait.
Hey, Colleen, want to go to the beach? I love the beach. Let's go swimming. Out, the weather was so fine. Sipping on Coronas with your limes. Sandcastles, bikinis on the beach. Sitting there just slightly out of
had you in the way, and now you are shark bait. Shark bait, you made a big mistake. I found you in the way, and now you are shark bait.
I can't let you go without talking about the name Lucy. I've taken a few stabs at where the name might have come from, but how did you come up with the band name Lucy?
Well, given the list of the names we've had called,
we have a list of approximately 50 to 100 possible band name ideas. And we actually went through a stage where we were a different band each month.
Every gig.
Yeah, every gig. Nobody
and
knew who they were.
People were getting a bit frustrated.
It was part of our shtick. We thought it was working
we
well.
We thought it was funny, huh?
Completely we did. Different band every time.
Yeah, we were. Eric Clapton did that once, but kind of after he was famous.
Right. You know? We like to, you know, we start early with everything.
And Lucy's kind of, one thing about it is kind of collective. None of our names are Lucy, and it represents sort of this other, a girl figure, a female figure, that none of us have any ties to. And I think that's the other thing. We sort of throw out a name, and one person liked it more than the other. But Lucy really was none of us were too attached to it, so we could all become Lucy. That's sort of what we've done.
We all felt about the same about it.
Yeah.
And I find that everyone feels about the same about it. Like, not too many people like, no Lucys, but everyone has an idea in their head when they hear the word Lucy. Everyone's got a different idea of what a Lucy is or who a Lucy is.
There's a lot of famous Lucys, yeah. And you can bring them all together in different phases.
Yeah, I mean, the only ones I could think of course, Lucille Ball,
right.
You know? And then you could see sort of the humor and the vibrance
sure.
there.
Yeah.
You know,
we've got
connection.
Lucy from Peanuts.
I was thinking of that 5 cents for psychiatric advice.
And, yeah. There you go.
Perhaps we're all the
Narnian
different
Chronicles.
Lucy. Yeah. You know?
Yeah, Narnia never Chronicle. Of and, of course, Trailer Park Boys.
And of course, there's
Lucifer. A little bit
is
of Lucy.
Is there a Lucy there?
Actually,
there
is. The original Lucy name, I have to say, came from the girl, Bridget, from my work, who... but I can't remember, unfortunately, the whole name. It was like Lucy somebody.
Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds?
Oh, yeah. No, it wasn't. It was like a famous sort of feminist type Lucy.
Oh,
perfect.
I really should learn that name.
Yeah. Some famous chick who got like right.
It's like a film star or something.
Yeah. That has different personalities that all come together, and each person can get their own vibe from the name Lucy. And we're growing into that kind of thing. So.
Well, Andre wished he could be here. He is in spirit because he was a big part of getting you guys in, because I first saw you when you were playing with Sean Sage and Canteen Knuckles.
That was a fun gig.
That was a great gig.
That nice mix of music.
Yeah, Canteen Knuckles wicked too.
That was a good night of entertainment. Mm-hmm. But he's actually busy with their full-length CD and all that sort of thing. But thanks for coming in. I will watch your career with interest. So, keep at it.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.
It's been fun.
It's much too soon for me to swoon over you. This heady feeling that has me reeling while I'm still. I barely know you, and I may want to, but not to swoon, no, not to swoon over you. Well, I'll keep my distance and feign resistance when you're there. My blank expression will convince you I don't care. I barely know you, and I may want to, but not to swoon, no, not to swoon over you.
Hey, what's up? This is Darren from The Salads, and I hear it first on the Toronto Indie Scene.
With all love serene, laughed at your pension for me, said we were to
Waking up my family. This is Dominic Forrest from Pure Tracks, and you're listening to the Toronto Indie Scene.
More from Dominic of Pure Tracks later. Dominic left with us a $60 coupon for free downloads at puretracks.com. To be eligible to win this, go to www.indiecan.com. All you have to do is join our mailing list. Someone from that mailing list is going to win that certificate this month. We just heard John Cohen Experimental, an indie band out of Montreal. I love their CD, and I thought I'd share it with you. Before that, The Darns, from their full-length CD, What It All Turns Into. And we heard Six-Year-Old Millionaire. This CD's great end-to-end. It was really hard picking a tune that properly represented them, but there's a lot of great songs on there, so check out The Darns. And of course, we started with Lucy. You heard it first on IndieCan. I told them that they're the most CBC-like show we've ever had, and I think they got it. Now, I'm in a train spotting kind of mood, and I got a couple of songs that are in that ilk. I've got Carol Pope from her indie CD, Transcend. I'm going to play you the title track from that. But I'm going to start out with something called The Elixir Act. Hope you like it.
This pressure in my cranium is only building up. Sound of this beating heart is ringing in my skull. Losing all sensations through to my fingertips. Thousand random memories I'm trying to forget. And we will live to drink another day. Yes, we will live to drink another day.
Numb from too much attention, caught in the sun's reflection. I'm gonna transcend, I'm gonna transcend all of this. Versace color spin off rail, then bodies shock of new. Shiny coat in your peripheral vision. I'm gonna transcend, I'm gonna transcend all of this.
I'm very excited about our industry insider this week. We have with us Dominic Forrest from PureTrax, which is, would it be Canada's number one digital download company?
It is.
It is. And I'm just learning all about this aspect of the business, and I've definitely been looking forward to this interview. Can you talk to us about digital distribution as a whole, the whole universe, when it got started, how much of an impact it's making, and its influence on retail sales now?
Yeah, well, if we go way back, I believe the first really MP3 format songs came in the market in 1989. So it's not new. It really got very popular on its distribution with Napster at the end of the 90s. And then everybody knows the story. Napster got extremely popular. Then the label and the RIA in the United States, two label, they shut it down because they were losing millions of dollars and their sales were very affected by this free distribution mechanism of their music. And in 2003, the first legal music site actually gave birth. So iTunes launched their first online music store, I believe it's in June 2003 or in July 2003. Not a lot of people were believing in and that people will actually be willing to pay 99 cents or so for a music download file. But they had a great, great success. And not to say that PureTrax, pretty much at the same time, PureTrax was originally founded as a company called Moon Taxi Media. Moon Taxi Media was specialized in streaming online radio since 1999. So they were in the online music business.
So it was internet radio.
Internet radio. They were doing in-flight streaming for Air Canada.
Oh, okay.
And, yeah. So really streaming radio. So they also did their market research and identified that people will be willing to pay about $1 for a music file. They went to see the two co-founder at that point. I went to see the major labels to convince them to actually invest money to launch a service that will allow distribution of music that way. And in October 2003, about 3 months after iTunes, PureTrax.com launched in Canada. It was actually the second music store to launch in the world.
No
and
kidding.
The first music store in the Microsoft format, WMA, to launch in the world. From the launch of PureTrax.com, the company have specialized in not only operating their own music store, but operating other music stores for other companies. Like we believe now we do almost 26 online music stores in Canada and United States. So we do music stores for companies like Best Buy, Future Shop, Sabbatical, MSN, TELUS, AOL, Standard Radio. In the United States, we do Tower Records, Univision in Spanish. So we operate site in French, in English, and in Spanish now in two countries.
So if I was buying something from Tower Records' website, I'd be really buying it through PureTrax, and I wouldn't even know it.
Exactly.
Now, how has the consumer responded? How has record sales or music sales changed since 2003?
Well, there's still, it's you can read the newspaper, it's still fairly public that the CD sales are decreasing still. Some labels have been able to compensate their CD sales or their loss of CD sales with digital downloads, with aggressive distribution mechanism and actually great bundle between the two products. We have done a lot of bundles with physical CDs that work very well. By example, you buy your physical CDs of Band X and with it you receive a code to download two live tracks or two exclusive tracks online of Band X. So that bonus content bundle works well and actually impact very significantly well the CD sales. So they're selling more CDs putting digital downloads with it.
Because of the bundle.
Because of bundle, yes.
Now, the big thing for digital downloading companies must be to get people to do it for the first time, to become comfortable with it and familiar with it.
Yeah, it's still a very early market. You know, stats differ a little bit, but they say that about 26% of the internet user have downloaded music and about 12% of them have downloaded legal music, which means that there are still 88% of the people that have not tried or used.
And this is 88% of music consumers, people who buy CDs, still haven't even tried to buy a digital download yet.
So we're still very early in that market. The technology is evolving. The music stores are improving. The discovery mechanism are improving on the different music stores. And the offering is wider. When we launched our music store, we're very proud of our 250,000 tracks. Now, at 1.3 million tracks, the offering is much more complete, and believe that we will hit the 2 million tracks by, if it's not this end of the year, like early next year.
Now, for people listening, just talk to them about what they would have to do to get started. Now, if they already have iTunes, for instance, they can't actually buy Pure Tracks from iTunes. They have to set up a separate account, don't they?
The main difference, you're talking about iTunes. You know, if I'm a user of iTunes and I want to, and I already download from iTunes, one day I can go and download from Pure Tracks, and the other day I can go and download from Best Buy. And, you know, it's, you have the option of shopping on different online music store, and you're still downloading a music file that you will be able to listen to. There's two formats in that music world, and that's the reality that we live in right now, which is the iTunes format, which is, to be technical a little bit, it's called ACC with Fairplay. So the ACC is actually the file format, and Fairplay is their license protection.
Right.
That, you know, control and the way that you're going to use your files on your computer, or you're going to burn your files or transfer your files to a portable device. The rest of the music store in the world use WMA, which is stand for Windows Media Audio File, with DRM, so Digital Right Management. That DRM is like the Fairplay. It's, you know, same mechanism of controlling or allowing you to burn files into CDs or to export it to your portable device. An ACC with Fairplay file, so an iTunes files, will only play on an iPod.
Right.
It will not play on any other MP3 players.
You can play it on your computer.
You can play it on your computer.
Or burn it to a CD.
You can burn it to a CD. And if you're WizKid, you know how to play it on another player. Same reality. A WMA file will play on all the players, like the Creative, the Samsung, the SanDisk, the iRiver, and all the others, but won't play on an iPod out of the box. Same thing. You can listen to it on your computer. You can burn a CD. And pretty much, it's common knowledge now. It's even in most of the help files. It will explain to you how to export it to your iPod if you want to import it in your iPod.
Now, you have one advantage. I mean, over the last few months, I've become an iTunes customer, and I've become a Pure Tracks customer. And it's the 192-bit versus the 128, which really seems to have a difference in terms of the sound quality.
It's a huge difference in the compression. So if you want, you know, I'm from Pure Tracks, I will tell you why we're better, or we think we're better. I will actually tell you the main difference, but we're happy with our service because of the quality of the files. We have high quality that you can hear it. Like, there's no doubt.
Now, I'm curious what your opinion is. It's my opinion that the whole idea of digital downloading, reducing the cost of actually bringing music to music fans, is a big win for indie artists and a leveling of the playing field to a certain degree. I mean, there's still promotion and advertising and all those other things. And I would think that indie artists would be helping in terms of driving people to sites like yours to have their first experience with actually purchasing online. What do you think the relationship between indie artists and PureTrax is likely to be in the future? Will you focus on the big label things, or do you see that, hey, these indie bands, you know, they're important to us?
Indie bands are essential for us. They're extremely important, actually. And even if you go on our site, you will see that we have a tab on our homepage that's called Indie to promote indie artists.
Yeah.
It's very important because in the online world, the market share of the independent artists are much higher than a retail store environment.
Right. So, I mean,
because you know, the distribution, a lot of independent artists don't have distribution agreement to go in an HMV. They will never be able to get in an HMV because of they don't have the shelf space. But they will be able to put their music on one of our stores. The success, the second largest online music store in the world, which is not in Canada, they're in the United States, it's called eMusic. And eMusic doesn't sell any tracks from major labels. It's all independent music.
No kidding.
The second advantage of an online music store for those independent artists, pretty much all independent artists have a website now.
Yeah.
And again, instantly create a mini music store on their website. So they can instantly create a page where you have like, buy my tracks, buy my albums.
Now, are you talking about through PureTrax?
Yeah, through PureTrax.
Now, there is a lag there, right? They've got to go through an aggregator, and you have to get in the queue, and it's not like you record something on Friday, and Saturday your store is open.
You're right. You're right. It's a little bit different, but you have to go through an aggregator like Indiepool if you're not labeled. Mm-hmm. If you have an indie label, you can do an agreement directly with us. The turnaround is not catastrophic. Like, it's not worse than printing CDs.
That's right. Because if you're printing CDs, you've got to get them printed. You've got to get them distributed. You have to promote them.
Exactly. So you can get a track on our stores like in a few weeks. Within a few weeks from the moment that you sign with Indiepool and the moment that we or ingesting your tracks. We are ingesting right now about 20,000 tracks per week, new tracks per week on one of our stores.
Well, it's a fascinating topic. I think it's going to change the way bands and fans relate to each other. And I'm so glad you came in to talk to us a little bit. And I'm sure a year from now, we'll have just as much to talk about because the difference in the retail world and the digital download world a year from now is just going to be dramatic, I think.
Yeah, I believe so too. And next time we will talk about music paid by advertising.
Okay, great. We'll look forward to that. Thanks for coming in, Dominic.
My pleasure.
was the first to crack, the first to glow.
Thanks for listening to the Toronto Indie Scene, an IndieCan music production.
For more information on the artists featured on today's show, visit IndieCan.com.